Who are you and what problem do you solve?
Where was the first time you got the bug and you thought, this is something I really want to do?
What does that actually look like behind the scenes with Wayne Lineker?
Today's guest, Tony Truman, the man behind O Beach Ibiza.
I'm doing business partners for the last 20 years. This persona he's created for himself, and it's been good for the business in many runny ways. And again, that's been a roller coaster.
You've got all these businesses, you've accomplished amazing things, you're still going, you're trying to break into Dubai now. Is there a point where it'll be enough? But the real question is, how do you keep Ocean Beach on top?
Hello. The sound from the guest's side was compromised for this episode. But if you can put up with it, you'll get so much from this. Enjoy.
Tony Truman, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Lovely to be on board.
Thank you for joining us. So I'm going to kick off the same way I always do, Tony. Who are you and what problem do you solve?
Ooh, what problem do I solve? Well, obviously, you know my name. I've been a party promoter virtually all my life, 42 years now. And I own a number of quite well-known hospitality businesses in the beautiful, magical island of Ibiza, and now in the sandpit desert of Dubai.
Lovely.
So yeah, that's who I am. I'm just a normal run-of-the-mill bloke, not born with a silver spoon in his mouth or anything like that. I've just worked my way up the ladder, down the ladder, back up the ladder. Yeah, game snakes and ladders, my life.
Good. I like it. That's the way it should be.
And the problems I solve?
Yeah, the problems you solve.
Constantly, daily, multiple. When you've got I think we're close to around 22 businesses, 1,500 staff. It's all day, every day, there's a problem. You know, in this industry, you never switch off. It literally is 24/7. So constantly fighting fires, especially the last few months here in Dubai.
So, obviously, Tony, in your lifetime, you probably lost count of the amount of parties that you've held. What do you think is the psychology behind a good party?
Good people, without a shadow of a doubt. I think, there's some people think the bigger the party is, the better it is. But for me, that's not necessarily the truth, because I believe when you do a party and you go above 500 to 1,000 people, I think you lose a certain intimacy of the party, and it just comes like a concert and it's not really a party. I think for me, anything under 1,000 people, you can really have a great party, and with freedom of movement as well. I think there's nothing worse than just being packed in like sardines. Of course, everyone likes to be in a busy venue because it creates a vibe, creates an atmosphere. But I think some of these places that you go in where you're so packed in, you can't even get to the bar to get a drink, you can't go to the toilet, you can't mingle. For me, that's not a good party. I suppose everyone has different points of view on it and everything, but mine is a party where you can mingle and you can meet new people. Now, that's one of the things I still love about this job, and I still get excited about each year, is meeting new people. My mum always says to me, you must know enough people by now, why do you still want to meet more? Unless it's a big bad world out there, then you don't know who you're going to meet, you never know what you're going to learn, and you never know what might be an outcome.
So, Tony, when you look back then, where was the first time you got the bug and you thought, this is something I really want to do?
That's, I've actually sort of said this quite a few times, was that night I walked in the original Clue Club in Ibiza when I was 15 years of age. And, saying I walked in, went down a dragon and into a pool. It was incredible. It just blew me away. I was a boy from Surrey, young boy, 15-year-old schoolboy, just been kicked out. Used to doing parties in a youth club or, sneaking in the back room of a pub or a rugby club or a local cricket club, football club, and stuff like that. I wasn't really a clubbing person, apart from your local ones, which I just mentioned. And then to suddenly go into this metropolis of hedonism and seeing all this and these weird and wonderful characters dressed like I've never seen anything, or I shouldn't say dressed, actually, because most of them didn't have a lot on. It's but just, wow, that moment was a real defining moment. It's really weird, I think. Still remember what I had on. I can still remember the guys I went with, literally what they had on. This gorgeous Welsh girl I pulled in the pool that night. I can remember her. I can remember so much about it. And it was like, I want to do this. Even when I rolled in, I think about 7 o'clock that morning. So I've gone on a family holiday. I was like, Mum, this is what I want to do. This is that. She's like, oh yeah, dream on. I got to be a paper boy.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because I've been to Ibiza, and like I'm sure a lot of people listening have, and I think there's a big difference between someone going in and being, this is amazing, to going, actually, yeah, I want to do this, and I want to be a club promoter, and I want to run nightclubs. And what's the transition? What was the bit in you that said, actually, I don't just want to go to these things. I want to be behind the scenes and building something.
I think back then I was more like, I want to go to these things. You know, I think, they say, as a young entrepreneur, perhaps I was, because I'd already thrown my first party a couple of months before this, I'd be for holiday. But I was, that sort of gave me more the impetus to say, yes, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do, or this is what I want to be part of. I want to maybe live in Ibiza or work in Ibiza. I didn't actually think, I want to own a swimming pool club. That wasn't really on my radar. Nothing in my pocket. That dream was a long, long way off. I think it was just more the lifestyle, and just not just that, and even going to the West End in San Antonio at that time, which was, the real cool place to be as well. And going in the bars up there, and the happy hours and things like that. I think just that whole working abroad environment, I was seduced with more so than anything. And it's funny because a lot of people now who, when I do the employment, which I still do for our group, and we go around the country and meet all these people, and they're so like excited at their, their ages of 18 to sort of 30 that we employ, still so excited to get a job in Ibiza because they think it's going to change their life, and which it does for many of them. A lot of, my friends have, like, it's really changed their life coming to work in Ibiza, and that's without the big dream that I had. They've got their own dream, being a waitress or a hostess or behind the bar or a shop girl. They just want to be part of the Ibiza lifestyle and the Ibiza family, and getting out of their normal Monday nights, I suppose.
I love that. And then, Tony, when we were like 16, 17, 18, me and Zach have been best friends for coming up to 17, 18 years now. So when we were younger, every school would have a few different people that would run like nightclubs or underage nightclubs or whatever. And you'd go to some, and some of them would be the best party. And then you'd go to some and there'd only be like 10 people there. So it feels like from an early age, you had some of the traits that could entice people. I don't know what it was, whether it was charisma, a marketing expert. What do you think some of those early signs were that you had that made people go, yeah, I want to sign up to this?
Yeah, I think, obviously, you guys are a lot younger than me. And at that time, when I was like 14, 15, 16, I didn't know one other promoter. I didn't know anyone putting on parties. I don't even think there was a thing of promoter parties at that sort of age, not that I was aware of anyway. It was, for me, it was, I knew I was a pretty popular kid in school. I used to run all the little sort of things going on and whatever, we just organising all the football at lunchtime every day. I'd be in the teams. And I suppose so that organisation was more of a skill set I had. And I didn't think, oh my God, I'm going to throw all these lavish parties or anything like that. But I knew I was popular. If I said I was going somewhere at the weekend, a lot of my friends would come or blah, blah, blah. But that was just to like the youth club and things like that. It was, you've got to remember there was no social media then. There was no mobile phones. If you said to someone, right, I'll meet you there next Saturday at 1 o'clock, you would be there. And you had no form of communication to that person apart from your word. And I think that's one thing that's changed massively in the world now, is people used to give their word then and pretty much stick to it. I think now people are very flaky. They cancel at the drop of the hat and stuff like that. But back in that day, you said something, it was like as good as a handshake. I'll be there. Old school, even now when I do deals, I do it on a handshake because I'm old school like that. And I think, so being a promoter wasn't really, again, on my radar. It was literally when I got kicked out of school and I was so desperate to go to the school party. They'd organised it themselves, the teachers, their master and everything. And then my mum, and I couldn't go, and my mum said, well, you're a popular kid, do your own party. So I think it was literally her words to me, saying, do your own party. You know, I think that was the turning point. And when I, and then when I'd done that party and all the kids came to my party, I was like, wow, I'm cool. I'm a leader sort of thing. But again, at such a young age, you know, you don't actually even really think of that. You know, you don't think, oh, well, I'm going to turn this into a business or anything. But it was on the success of that. And then after my Ibiza trip, and I came back and I think I'd done a Halloween party and or a New Year's Eve party, something like that. And then everyone started coming to that. I thought, wow, this is good. And also I was thinking, this is a great way to meet girls. You know, I'm not going to lie. There was no money in it. There wasn't for many, many years, but there was plenty of women along the way. And that's what you sort of, you know, inspired me and all my boy mates, you know, what you like at that age, all excited about women and having a smile about you and things like that, really. There wasn't the sort of sexual conversations like there are today with the youth market. Well, it wasn't, was it? It was so, so different. You saw a girl's boobs, you're like mega excited. Very, very different world we live in now. Everyone looking about half naked.
Yeah, the world is ever changing. I was listening to a study recently talking about popular children at school, so it's kind of taken me off on a bit of a tangent. And it said a large reason that people were popular at school were they were genuinely interested in other people. So obviously you've built up an empire. We can call it an Ibiza empire. You've got businesses all around the world. What are some of those soft skills that you are proud of that you feel have actually made you, I guess, the man you are today and the entrepreneur that you are today?
What people say about me is say I'm very in touch with them, and like, you know, being a boss of one of the bosses of a big company, I'm very on the floor with my staff. You know, there's that TV show, isn't there, Back to the Floor? I'm very much like that, I think, because I've experienced, you know, cleaning, glass collecting, working behind a bar, cleaning the crap up and stuff like that. I've been on the street as a promoter. So I think I can understand people on all levels from all walks of life. I think when you're a PR on the street, as long as I was in the Canaries many years ago, you know, meeting people from all walks of life and all different cultures and backgrounds and nationalities, I think I learned a real good sense of people skills and judgment of character. And like you just said, you know, you were talking about you two being friends for a long time. I think if you look at myself, I've still got a lot of the pals I grew up with, friends from school, friends from teenage years, friends from early years of partying. Nearly all my circle, the closest people in my life, people I've known all my life. So when I'm being a prick, they tell me I'm being a prick and stuff like that, you know, they're not just blowing smoke up my ass because they work for me or something like that. So I think probably my biggest, softest thing is my personalness, really, I would say, and understanding situations, you know, because a lot of people have money worries in the world. I've been there, I've been skint, I've been there, I've had a few quid, I've lost it again. So I understand all those things as well, really. And I think it's, my mum always says, stay humble. And I think I've managed to try and do that as best as I can.
I think the other thing that jumps out as well with entrepreneurs, and I'm sure this will resonate with you, it's this appetite for risk. It's like, I'm comfortable in the risky moments. Yeah. I don't mind putting it all on black sometimes. So What can you tell us about maybe the first big risk you took in your entrepreneurial career that paid off and what made you do it?
I'll tell you about my last one.
Yeah, tell us that. Now.
So my first big risk was not going to college / university or anything like that, and getting a trade, I would say, because obviously it was very different than education as well. You know, a lot of the boys came out of school and became a plumber or a bricklayer, or, you know, my circle of friends did anyway. You know, we weren't anywhere. There's, like I say, there was no internet and technology like that. And all the girls became hairdressers or beauticians and things like that in that sort of mid early 80s period. And a lot of the other people were going off, the people in the higher streams at school and were going off to college and universities and things like that. And I was like, no, I don't want to do any of that. You know, I really wanted to just go and get a job as a labourer so I could have a bit of money so I could pay for my next party. and things like that. That was really, I was more interested in the fast buck as such back then, because where all my friends were doing apprenticeships and getting absolutely shocking money, I went out and got a job as a labourer on a building site that probably paid me three times what my friends were doing. But they were studying and learning and education. I just wanted to have enough money to pay for my next venue's deposit, really. And now, even now, you know, this year we took a massive leap out of our comfort zone. We've had a very successful business in Ibiza for the best part of probably 20 years now. And we took a real risk and gamble going into Dubai. A lot of people saying, why are you doing it? You're doing fantastic. Do you need the stress? Do you need the risk factor? Do you need to put so much money into it? Do you need to do that? And of course, when you do something like that, you question yourself, you know, your partners, you have meetings about it. But sometimes you've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to take risks. You've got to take gambles. Like you say, you've got to put it all on back. And you've got to go for it. You know, there's many other people who've, like, opened up businesses overseas, around the world, and big organisations. And, you know, that was always a bit of a dream of ours. And also, it tests your brand. And like what we're going through at the moment is literally going back to old school promoting here in Dubai. It's really, really brought us back to the floor. And, you know, instead of resting on your laurels, whether I choose to do it again, that's a different question. It's, you know, but once you're in it, you've got to crack on and, you know, make the most of it yourself the best you can. And I'm enjoying this challenge, even though it's been fraught with difficulties in many, many different sectors of setting this up over here. I'm actually enjoying the challenge, and I'm a great believer. I know we can make things work. You know, I think that's one thing you've got to have as an entrepreneur. You're going to have down days, you're going to have up days. You've got to have your self-belief in what you do and what you know and what your brand is.
So I suppose when you look at the journey now, based on that, the different risks that you've taken, how different has it been compared to what you expected?
Completely different. Completely different. I'll tell you one of the biggest things about Dubai. I spoke about this the other day, which shocked us. You know, I'm talking about my flagship business here, O Beach, and you know, we have lots of sister businesses. O Beach in Ibiza is probably 65% female who book 6 months, 5 months, 4 months, 3 months in advance, pay their deposits, book their beds, plan their holidays, and they're on hen parties, birthday celebrations, divorce celebrations, you name it. They do breakup situations. And all these girls are so super planned out and efficient, where the guys always lastminute.com, blah, 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 book their bed a couple of days before they're coming, you know what we're like. And but the girls are so meticulous in their planning and everything, and they don't mind spending. You know, women now, a lot of them have got great jobs, a lot of them do better than men in what they earn and everything like that, and good luck to them. And they don't mind spending anything. But in Dubai, wow, it's shocking, really, that everything out here for females is free. You can't comprehend. You can be a female girl here, doesn't matter what age, what you look like, where you're from, your status in life. You can go out 7 days a night, 7 days a week, literally 18 hours a day to all the top places, and all your food and all your drinks free. It's insane. I knew when we'd done our research, and obviously been going to Dubai for a long, long time, we knew that obviously there was a lot of ladies' days, the brunches, and you do the deals and the discounted drinks and happy hours. That's always been a thing out here. But since COVID, where the world, you know, came to a standstill, but Dubai didn't, it pretty much acted as normal. And every single influencer in the world virtually descended on Dubai during that period. All the hotels were giving out freebies so that they would influence their hotel, their beach club, their restaurant. And literally, since then, this culture has remained of, like, everyone thinks they're an influencer, everything. Everyone thinks they're deserving of free stuff, which is in their entitlement. You know, be honest, we had three absolute stunning girls. We've got a decent following. Come to the beach club today. You know, we, you know, gave them a couple of complimentary platters of food and some a bottle of wine and some jugs of sangria. And they still said, oh, we thought we was going to get a five-course free meal and bottles of champagne. It's like, are you having a laugh? The expectancy out here It's shocking. And it's very unattractive. It's doesn't matter how you make me look at these three girls. I'm like, wow, you've just shown your ugly side of you and everything like that. And I think that's something that has really caught us by surprise. But talking to my other friends who are in venues out here and who are in hospitality, they've said this is something in the last year. Obviously, it's happened since COVID, but this last year, even 6 months, it's got more and more prevalent. You know, all these agencies have opened up saying, oh, I've got 10,000 girls. I've got 5,000 girls. Pay us money. We'll send them all for nothing. You think, okay, yeah, that's great for promotion. But not only do they want to come for nothing, they want to eat and drink for nothing. It's madness. And they're eating up their own hospitality environment, and something's got to change about it. And now, I've done an interview last week. I was quite vocal on it. And I know quite a few of my friends, like as I just said, and starting to become vocal about it. It's terrible. It's really not good for the world.
So that's, as an entrepreneur, that's quite an interesting problem. So I'm sure that you've sat down with business partners and marketing. So like, I love like problem solution and firefighting. So how do you propose that you solve that problem then? What are the plans in place? How are you thinking about that?
Well, what we're thinking about that is you've got to do it to a certain extent. Especially when you're a new business, which we don't like. But what we're actually doing when we realise the first month, these girls were coming in, just sitting there, getting in the vibe of the party, just sitting there on their phones, doing it. It was all for self-gain. It wasn't for the help of the business. Oh, lovely, this business is giving me food and drink. I'm going to smother it in posts and social media and tell all my friends to come. Flirt with the guys, try and get them upsell by bottles. You know, that's the nature of the business here. But they weren't even doing that. It was just all about them sitting there, taking the pictures, posing, pouting. So now, the way we've done it, we're doing it like, okay, well, if we are giving you that and you are going to do that, you've got to give us this in return. You know, we're putting steeper, bigger things in front of them to say, okay, for this entitlement, you get this. And gradually, obviously, we would like to phase it out. But obviously, this business is only literally 11 weeks old, 12 weeks old. So it's still in very early infancy stage. So we've got to kind of go with the flow on it a little bit, but tone it back. And only really give it to people we think are fully deserving.
I like that. I like that.
Fighting fires, but learning.
I'm sure it's nothing you're not used to. Tony, I run a business with my best friend. We've been running this. We're in our fourth year now. Obviously, you've got a business partner who is also in the public eye. What does that actually look like behind the scenes with Wayne Lineker?
I think I've known Wayne a long time. We've been business partners, best part of 20 years now. And I obviously knew Wayne back then. I was the person to get him on social media, so it's partly my fault. And, you know, what he's created for himself. I mean, it's funny, when the other day I was looking at some early pictures of O Beach and stuff like that. When he didn't even used to go on the stage, he didn't have any tattoos, he didn't have any cosmetic surgery. He looked like a total different fella in the way he was and everything. And this persona he's created for himself, and you know, we've let him run with it with the business because it's been good for the business in many ways. And again, that's been a bit of a roller coaster because obviously, when we get a bit of flack here, there, and you know, people digging us out and stuff, Wayne tends to take that flack. So for him, he's very thick skin. And with Wayne, his intentions, you know, I know him inside out, his intentions are always at heart. He's got a very good, kind heart. I know a lot of people slag him for the young girls, but if they actually knew him, he's not off with young girls. He has pictures with loads of girls, you know, he's loads of guys, everything, you know, but just when things come out in the press, I think people, you know, it's like our country. We love to build people up and bring them down. And Wayne doesn't do anything particularly wrong. He might do the odd stupid, immature thing. But again, he's had a lot of immature people in this business. People who are drunk and you know what and stuff. It's in general, he's a top fella. He just, all he wants to do, he doesn't care about money. He just wants to have a good time. He wants to have a laugh, and he wants to enjoy himself. You know, and I don't think there's any harm in that. And it's a shame, really, the things that get said about him, because if actually you got to know him, he's uh, is a lot different from this portrayal in public.
And I'm sure that I'm fascinated because me and Zach, we will have our own disagreements behind the camera and we'll have words. I guess when it comes to business partners and conflict and making the right choices, how do you approach those situations and how do you solve them if you've got one idea and Wayne's got another?
Well, the thing is, Wayne's involved in the business as an owner, and obviously this public face he does with the social media and everything. He's not involved in any of the operations and any of the nuts and bolts of the company. That's his son, Wayne, who's absolutely unbelievable. And myself and him, you know, there's five of us in our partnership. Myself and Dwayne run the business from, you know, I always say he's the spreadsheet on the dance floor. But it's, you know, we're in that position. But it's a team effort. There's Gemma, there's George, there's Maxi, our other partner, who's very heavily involved. There's Tony, a wheelchair, our other partner. So they're more in the background. But obviously on any key decisions, anything that's big or impactful in the company or anything new going forward, of course, that all comes down to owners having their own meetings. And personally, we have the odd fallout or disagreement and stuff like that. But in the end, I think we've all been in it for too long and we know what's right, we know what's wrong. Some of us make the wrong decisions, we let them roll with it. And, you know, partnerships about, you know, you've got to listen to each other and you've got to understand each other. And not one person's a leader of that partnership. We've just all got to sort of guide each other along the way. So, yeah, you know, it's a team. It's a massive team. Like I say, it's from the hostess at the front, from the head of security, from everyone's involved in it. You know, it's not just all about one person. And it's funny because I know a lot of people think Wayne runs it and stuff like that. And, you know, he's got his thing going on with the beach club, which is very, very good. But in the actual everyday running of it, it's myself and Dwayne and Maxi a lot more in the last few years as well. So, fought times at many occasions, but lots of happy times as well. So it swings around about. It's life, isn't it?
You sparked a thought before that I thought you'd have the best insight of probably anyone we've spoken to. Status and the status game. So people will have come in before and wanted to play I'm the guy tonight. I'm either for the girls or I'm just the alpha male in the club tonight. What are some of the maddest ways you've seen people say, I'm the VIP this evening and try and assert that status and that dominance?
We don't really get that, if I'm honest. We don't get people coming thinking they missed a big shot or anything like that. I think they all do in their own little things. I think when you come to Ibiza, it's so full of so many. There's always a gangster there. But there's a bigger gangster over there. There's always a beautiful girl, but there's an even more beautiful girl. There's always a rich guy, but there's a rich guy. There's, you know, it's so full of people from bin men to billionaires, I always say, right? No one is better than anyone. I always say, you know, I'm a big advocate of this is if you're paying £5 to get in the club or you're paying £500, you're the same, you're treated the same. Everyone's stripped bare, everyone's an equal. Okay, obviously, you know, when you get your big celebrities in, like your Ed Sheerans and Lewis Capaldi's and Conor McGregor's, of course, they're more like iconic things. So that's different. But in your average day-to-day customer, but there again, Ed comes in, Ed's normal, Ed wants to pay for his drink, Ed wants to have a drink with us, he wants to go and mingle with the crowd and have a beer with boys he doesn't know. You know, it's people, I don't know, it just, O Beach has a sense of just keeping people, on social media, they look, you know, they pose with their big buttholes and their tattoos and all the big watches, most of them are fake, but anyway, to go along with the teeth and everything like that. But, you know, it's people, you know, people want to be a millionaire today, they sort of live there for the day and stuff, and they live out this fantasy. Good luck to them, you know, we all want to try and, you know, get out of our own zone in our mind sometimes, don't we? So if they want to act Charlie Big Potatoes today, happy days.
There's a few different ways I could take that, but we'll have to take a little quick detour to Conor McGregor when he came. So you said Ed Sheeran came and he was like wanting to get amongst the people a bit and have a drink with you. Conor McGregor the same?
See, I don't know if you saw it with Ed. He was jumping off the stage, diving in the crowd, doing shots with random people and just like you know, walked in the front door, didn't want to come around the back, and same with Conor McGregor, he didn't want to come around the back, he wanted to walk through the front, but that was like, that was more like a ring walk. He was actually like a superstar that day, and fair play when he just had the biggest fight of his life and stuff like that. But, you know, we try to treat these people just as normal as well. You know, it's, well, sometimes it's hard to do, but, you know, we get a lot of, you know, whatever, footballers, pop stars, rock stars, you know, just, I think, but everyone comes to Ibiza for the same common denominator, and let's have a good time, you know, get away from their normal life, meet new people, and have a good crack with like-minded people. But it's some mental situations as well, people get in such a mess and stuff like that. It's hilarious. I love people watching. I swear to God, you sit at my table in the club, you spend half the day falling about laughing at people. Not laughing at them, you're laughing with them, because it's just like, oh my God, I've done that, we've done that, she's done that. It's just like people on their first holiday, you can see what's going to happen. They're going to get burned. They're going to be in the medical room by 4 in the afternoon, and just like they're going to lose their shoes. Everyone's saying they're being spiked. Yeah, really. It's just madness. And that goes on for every venue in Ibiza, pretty much, which has got a lot of, you know, clubbing experience.
And you've been doing this for 20 years, so I guess what are some of those, when you look back on it all, what are some of those core memories that just jump straight to the front of your mind?
And the core memory is probably obviously the Ed Sheeran was a very, very proud moment, actually, having someone of like Ed in the club, up on the stage, drinking with him, singing, looking at his phone and the words, and just generally having a laugh, totally unscripted. That was a very special moment. But me personally, where I've been doing my Trues Do's parties for 30, 40 years, I had my 30th anniversary of Trues Do's in there, and my daughter was about 7, I think, at the time, and she came to sleep, hanging down from the crane, singing a song. And all my family there, very, very proud moments. That was like really took me back to why I wanted to come to Ibiza in the first place, because of the Wham Club Tropicana video. And I thought, like, I actually thought that day, wow, it took me back to 1980, that August in 1983 when I walked in the queue and seeing all, like, you know, 2,000 of my best friends in there have literally come out especially for that party. And I was like, wow, I've cracked it, not cracked it in a business sense, I've cracked it in how I feel, this is my dream come true. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't a mandatory thing, it was a dream coming true, it was a distant, unachievable dream that had come true. I had my own pool club in Ibiza, which has become one of the best clubs in Ibiza. You know, I think also another moment which I thought was a wow moment was, obviously I've been going to Ibiza for a long, long time. Was the first time, you know, you see the ticket boards outside a lot of the venues, and they've got Pasha, Amnesia, Esparadis, Eden, DC-10s. They've got all the club names. And I've always been looking at them for years, always interested in the prices of the clubs. I think for the first time, and I saw the board with O Beach on it, I thought, wow, we're there. We're on that list. And that was, you know, it's quite a simple thing. But, you know, sometimes the simple things have the most impact. And I actually thought, wow, we're regarded now as one of these people to make that list. And I'm talking about get some of the best clubs in the world there, which have been such longevity, Pasha, 40-odd years, all those clubs and everything, Amnesia, 40 years and stuff. It's like, wow, we've arrived.
Not everybody gets that. It feels like it's your childhood dream. It's your Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, and you get to live it every day. I was doing some research before this interview and this discussion, and I know that you've got lots of businesses, and I found you've got a Chinese restaurant called Cheeky One. Is that right?
Great name, isn't it?
It's a great name.
Great name. Honestly, when I came up with that name, because I do all the names of the business and, you know, the aesthetic and the branding and the design and stuff like that, I said, all right, we're going to get a Chinese restaurant. They went, all right, true, come up with a name then. And they said, oh, this is going to be a tricky one. And, you know, well, I used to smoke weed, and I smoked puff, or hash, whatever, yeah, and for years and years. I gave up now. Don't do it. I think since I've given up, I've lost a bit of my creativity, I'm not going to lie. But, and I went home and we sat there smoking a few joints, and I came out with, and I wanted to call it Chinky Winky. right? And I said to Gemma, like, who was our brand director, Chinky Winky. You know, when you was young, you used to go, let's go and get Chinky Winky Chinese. That's what I'm my way. That's what I used to say. And she was saying, you can't say that. That's racist. And I'm like, I didn't even know that was racist. I'm like, really? He's such a great name. But yeah, you can't use that. You know, in this politically correct world, and again, old school, not even realised. She said, you've got to do better than that. And I said, no. I just said, when I come up with Cheeky One, I thought, wow, how appropriate for a beater. How appropriate for half of my friends in life. And I went down and I wrote it all out, and I went to the boys, and they were like, that is the best. But I actually couldn't wait to tell the world, but we didn't, obviously, we'd done all the branding and we released it. And just literally everyone was, that is the best name. You know, I'd done Wiki Woo, I'd done Bamboo Coo, and stuff like that. And obviously all sort of triple barrel names. And coming up with that one as the final one was like, yes, Wiki. And it's a great restaurant, by the way. It's actually, it's something that was much needed in the big bar. I mean, we all love a Chinese, don't we?
Definitely. When you're hungover, that's what you need. You're the antidote.
Exactly. It's either you hang over or you're stoned. You get the munchies, don't you?
Yeah.
It's one of them, really. Yeah, and I actually really enjoy that part of it. It's a bit like when I came up with the name Wiki Woo. I've done exactly the same thing. When I'm sat there, rolled up a few, I was with Gordon, one of my partners, and he's, you know, we had to actually find a name that night. And I said, what was I going to call it? Oh my God, it's come to me. I was going to call it something then. Something to do with smoking joints, actually. It was something to do with smoking joints. I'm going to call it the Wacky Backy. The Wacky Backy Hotel. He said, you can't call it that. And I was going to have a Wiki Woo meaning nothing. And I was like, yeah, that's a great name.
It is a great name.
Because then also, really, thinking about it now, when I think about names, businesses, I always try and think of something that doesn't mean anything, because number one, you don't have to have sponsored links and you can go straight to the top of the Google rankings, because nobody else has got that name, so that can save you a fortune on paid ads and sponsorship links and stuff like that. And it's fun. I think business has got to be fun. I think if you don't go into a business, it's not fun, don't bother doing it.
That's quite a smart soundbite, that what you've just said.
Yeah,
come up with a business then that does it. It's not a thing that exists already, so you don't have to fight for it.
Most people ask as well. What's that? It's like we've done it, Wiki Woo, with a question mark in Spain. They have it upside down at the beginning of the word. We thought, well, our logo obviously got a bit of question mark, so that's what we've done, and that upside down question mark, and it works.
So you've got all these businesses. You've accomplished amazing things. You're still going. You're trying to break into Dubai now. Is there a point where it'll be enough?
Yes. You asked me today. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with it. We've gone for it. Yeah. I'll say I'm done. Me and Max have put on the park and meet about another business this morning. So you say you're done, but you just never know what each day may hold. It's not for me. It's not a question of having, like, or being greedy or wanting. I don't know. I like the fun aspect to it. I like the social aspect, and I like being able to provide good places for people. You know, where people can go and have a good crack. There's nothing more satisfying and pleasing when you see people standing in front of you on the dance or having the best night of their life or going out for a top night or sitting around the table drinking wine, eating Chinese with friends and laughing. And I love creating social occasions and stuff like that. And I think that stemmed from my True's Do's parties, where I've always loved that. It stemmed from my school days and my holidays and everything. And my mate calls me a GTI, a good time instigator. Me, it reminds me of an 80s Volkswagen Cabriolet car.
There's that quote in I thought it might have been Tyson or something like that said it's hard to get up at 5 a.m. when you're sleeping in satin sheets. And obviously the start that was getting you out of bed is probably getting the business moving. But what I'm getting is it still feels like it's all about how do I provide the best experience for people. And it was still that at the start. So really, like, the goal feels like it's never really changed.
No, it's just always been about good times. It's all been about the good times and having you take your mates along for the ride with it as well. And, yeah, I just love a party. I ain't gonna lie. I still love a party, even though I get a bit tired for it. I don't chase the women no more, and I just love being with mates, having a gig or having a laugh. If you can make a bit of cash of doing that, happy days, you know. And I think that's the. I think I'll do that till my dying days, really, you know. And it's just it's something that's in you, isn't it, really, when I look at some people, you know. But then I have days of going, oh, God, I need to get out of this industry. I want to chill out. I want to travel the world. I do, but if I want to travel the world, I'll probably open up a bar somewhere else. It's, and that's what my girlfriend says. She said, can't you go somewhere without thinking, oh, my God, I'd love to do that. We went to this ice cream shop the other day. Absolutely amazing. I went, oh, my God, I really want one of these ice cream shops. She's going, you off your head. I said, it was one of those cold stones where they're chucking the ice cream, they're catching it in the cups, and there's a vibe in an ice cream shop with loud disco music. I was going, I love this. I love this. She was going, no. And then next minute, I'm Googling them, see what you can do to get a franchise. She's like, stop it. Just stop it. Stop thinking you've got to go everywhere and do everything. I said, it's just natural, isn't it? Naturally in me.
It's in your DNA. Tony, I've absolutely loved this conversation. I think that the first question we asked you was what problem do you solve? And I think as it's come full circle, it's you make people feel good. You give people a good time. And I think like every business solves a problem for someone. Mm. I think that's one of the best one. I think in times of recession, like it's always hospitality and entertainment that kind of comes out on top because people want to laugh and people want to have a good time. So thank you for your duty to
and I think it's also can you think of one thing? Let me ask you a question. What's one thing in the world that links everyone has got in common?
We're all gonna die.
Very true. The love of music. Whatever your taste in music is, it literally resonates with everyone, whether it's opera, whether it's classical, whether it's tech house, whether it's, you know, I think everyone in the world loves music, and I love music because music makes a party.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Tony Truman, thank you so much for joining us. I guess if people want
to
check you out or they want to come and party with you, where can they find you? What should they do to get in touch?
Just go on my Instagram, at Tony Truman Ibiza. They get bombarded with messages on there, and I actually personally reply to everyone. Good and bad. Not that I get too much bad. I leave the bad abuse to Wayne. I get the good things.
Good stuff. Tony, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony.
My pleasure. And just let me know where you want me to share this or anything. It's been really nice talking to you guys. Sorry, you better listen to me waffling.
No, it's been amazing.
And if you ever want to come to a party, you know where we are.